Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 22 to 30, the inevitability of God's severe judgment due to Judah's hardened rebellion. When God disciplines his people, the discipline is often breathtakingly severe, and one may wonder how a God of infinite compassion and love would be motivated to exercise such severe discipline. Well, severe discipline comes on those in hardened rebellion against the Lord and his word. And Jeremiah 6, 22 to 30 explains this truth as it is applied to the nation of Judah. So we view the passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 6, 22 to 30. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array or in formation as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanderers, and they are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire, the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Okay. In verses 22 to 26, the prophet Jeremiah predicted the great terror of the coming invasion by the Babylonian army. We take it that Jeremiah could actually see this in a vision. A vision would be just as real as if you saw a video, on a video cam or something like that, played out or on television. It was that realistic, and Jeremiah was giving this vision so he could see this. An army from a great nation from the north was being stirred up to invade Judah. Babylon is actually northeast, but in order to get to Israel, they have to bypass the desert in Saudi Arabia, so they go up north from Europe direction and go up the Euphrates River this way, and then they come down directly from the north in Israel. So the Assyrians invaded from the north, the Babylonians came from the north. So when they say coming from the north or from the north country, that's an indication of the direction that the enemy is coming when it invades the land of Israel. Well, this Babylonian army would be armed with bows and spears, an army that was cruel. It did not show mercy on any of their victims of war. There have actually a relief that was done that the Babylonians actually made a picture on clay of what they did. And some of the Jewish soldiers, they had big posts, and they sharpened the posts, and they would stick the soldiers up there and impale them on the shoulder. And this was all over the place, and of course they would die at that point. But the Babylonians were not known for showing mercy. They took delight in brutally killing people. Well, the sound of their galloping horses was like the roar of the sea, horses coming in terrifying formation to attack Judah's people, who are poetically called the vulnerable, precious daughter of Zion. In fact, not only were men killed, but there were women killed, elderly people. They just were absolutely merciless. Simply hearing the reports of this army would cause the hands of Judah's people to hang limp in fear, for anguish to grip their heart as of a woman in strong labor. Well, people would warn others not to go out into the fields or walk along the roads, for the enemy had a sword and would use it indiscriminately, producing terror all around. Accordingly, Jeremiah called his people to put on the mourning cloth of sackcloth and roll in ashes to depict grief, to mourn and to wail bitterly as if grieving over the loss of an only son. for the destroying army of Babylon would come upon them suddenly, creating a devastating loss of human life. We just got a phone call today from the dean's brother. He's living back in the Rockford, Illinois area, and they talked about a sheer wind that came through and took down a couple limbs of the tree and, you know, went through the front door or something, and the whole storm lasted a minute, and then it was gone. The sun came out, but there was tremendous devastation. And the Babylonian army was the same way. They're going to come in, and they were going to just devastate. Well, explaining why such a terrible invasion would occur, Jeremiah was called of God to test the people of Judah, only to discover that they were gravely wicked, making this dreadful invasion just. Verses 27 to 30. The Lord told Jeremiah that he had made him like a tester of metals, and the people of Judah like ore, that Jeremiah might test them and observe their ways to make a spiritual evaluation. Actually, the way they would test metal in those days, and the only way they knew how to test its composition was to melt it. They would put it in a smelter's fire and melt it and get hot. And if there were impurities, the impurities would come to the surface. And the picture is that as the sludge was come to the surface, they would scrape it off. And you would know it's pure when you could see your reflection. Well, if you saw your reflection, either in molten gold or the molten silver, whatever it was, then you knew it was pure. Until then, you didn't know it was pure. Imperfect way, but nevertheless an effective way in the ancient world of testing the quality of the metals. Well, what the prophet Jeremiah found was that all were rebels of the rebellious. There's a figurative, actually a catchy phrase here, Sare Sorim. The Hebrew loves to have a play on words, Sare Sorim, rebels of the rebellious. And we would say hardened rebels, going about to slander. Now the word rachil, of slander, always means slander in the Old Testament. Never the lesser meanings of talebearer or gossip that some of the versions sometimes render it. Some of the versions will say it's just a talebearer or it's just a gossip, but actually the way it's used throughout the Old Testament always refers to slander. And what's interesting is that the sin of going about, not just slandering a person here, but going about trying to misrepresent another person's reputation all over the place, going about to slander was specifically prohibited by God in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. You shall not go, literally says, up and down as a talebearer about my people. In other words, you can't just go and make sure that everybody else in the community knows this bad information that you're going to share about the person, and normally it's errant. For that spread false information about another person's character, and it negatively and unfairly hurt his relationships with everybody, negatively impacting his income, his acceptance, and thus eventually his entire health and welfare. In fact, the ninth command of the Ten Commandments, though we broadened it to include all lying, actually prohibited this particular sin. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We broaden it to say thou shalt not lie, but it includes something much more specific than just not lying. It actually focuses on misrepresenting another person's character because it's so devastating to that person in every way. So it damages those who are victimized by it. So this is a particularly heinous sin, and apparently everybody in Judah was going about trying to misrepresent other people, and they were spreading these lies about one another all over the place and tearing each other down. Well, these people were all spiritually corrupt, like the baser metals of bronze and iron versus the precious metal like silver or gold. So Jeremiah then saw that God had blown the bellows fiercely to heat the smelting fire with earlier trials in Judah to drive out the dross of the wicked lead from Judah. But to no avail, all the people were rejected silver. In other words, they were impure silver. So the Lord had rejected them because they were hardened in their wickedness. It's interesting, God gives this information. He gives this video of this terrible judgment that's going to come. And then he shows Jeremiah, he says, okay, Jeremiah, I want you to see why I'm sending this. You go and you test the people. So he tested them. And guess what? It was disastrous. People were undercutting one another, misrepresenting each other's character, lying openly to tear one another down. The whole country is doing this, and it's just destroying society. So God's great severe judgment in the form of the invading, cruel, merciless, terrifying Babylonian army was very just. For just as Jeremiah discovered as God's human tester of the spiritual nature of Judah's people, they were all hardened rebels, intentionally going about to slander one another, to destroy each other's reputations for personal gain, no matter how many great trials God had brought thus far in their lives. So, may we realize that God is fully able and willing to exact severe discipline for severe rebellion against him, that we repent of the sin for blessing. Number two, may we especially repent of negatively misrepresenting the character of others in slander. For that wrong destroys another person's ability to relate adequately with others to his comprehensive, destructive harm. And God thus hates that sin as one of utter lovelessness. And then three, on the other hand, may we do our best to avoid sinfully, destructively misrepresenting another person's character, not only because it does so much damage to that person's relationships, but because God's judgment of it is also very severe. See, lovelessness is towards God and towards one's neighbor are the ultimate sins from God's perspective. The two first commandments are, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Going about tearing down another person's reputation so that it breaks down his relationships with everybody else is the opposite of love, and that's why God despises it. So that one sin is what God picks out, and he destroys the whole nation because of it. So it shows us that it's very, very damaging. Years ago, this didn't happen that I think in this day, but I heard of it happen. There was a pastor in a church, and a woman claimed that the pastor had committed immorality with her. And the pastor denied it and everything, but the church believed the woman, so they dismissed the pastor. Okay. Then she went around and she picked on one of the deacons and claimed that he had gone to bed with her. And then, but he could cover his tracks. He could prove the otherwise. And they realized too late that the woman had a mental problem. So they went to the former pastor. They asked him to come back, and he said, I can't. You've destroyed my reputation in the community. I can't. I can't minister there. And the Lord opened up a door for him to pastor in another church. And he worked there. But the church suffered interminably because they didn't do their homework in regards to that. But I'm just bringing this up to demonstrate, and this can often happen even within people within the church. If a person's reputation is misrepresented unfairly, it destroys that person's relationships. And it tears down the relationships even within the body. So we really need to be very careful that we protect the relationships that we have with people, but protect the reputations of other people. Even if we know something bad about another person, if we don't have to say anything, the best thing to do is not to, you know, just keep it and let the Lord deal with it. Now, sometimes we have to deal with sin if there's proof and so forth. Yes, there are routes to go. We go to the person first, and then if that doesn't work, you go to the board, and you know, there are church discipline ways to handle church discipline, but we need to be careful to protect other people.